the Gospel according to John, chapter number 13, and we're going to try to continue where we left off this morning on this passage of Scripture that has been such a help to me in the last week, actually the last couple weeks. As I shared with you this morning, I've just had a lot of things inside that I've been trying to convey, and the Lord seemed fit to draw me to this passage of Scripture. It's been very helpful to me. And we looked at the passage in chapter 13, and we began reading with verse 31, but really, we looked at almost the whole chapter this morning. But in John chapter 13, verse 31, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus says, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.'" Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us to say yes. In Jesus' name, amen. By this, not by a t-shirt. By the way, I'm not against t-shirts. I think Christians ought to very proudly wear, "I'm a Christian." By the way, I like those Tiftonia Baptist Church shirts. I think you ought to be thankful that you attend Tiftonia Baptist Church. Appreciate the two. Let's try that again. How many of you are glad that you're a part of Tiftonia Baptist Church? Well, would you please help me a little bit? When it's your turn, just come right in. We have Tiftonia Baptist Church. I like it. But that's not how God says that people will know that you're one of his disciples. The Bible says he will know, people will know that you are one of his disciples, that if you love one another, and not just love one another, but love one another as Christ has loved us. I want you to think about that. As Christ loved us. That's how the world, that's how we know when someone is a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, by how you love. Let me just say this. Not by how you point out everybody's faults. By how you love. By how all God's people will know, or all people will know that you love, or you're a disciple of mine, if you run people down. It's not how he'll tell. But how you love. And not just love, but love as Christ, as I've loved you. How Christ has loved us. That's powerful. And I said this morning, there's no way I can adequately explain how Christ loved us. But as I said to you in this chapter, the answer, the object lesson, the pattern, the example, God gave it to him right here in this passage, because he told him in verse 1 that he loved him to the end. And then the very end of the chapter, he tells him to love one another as I have loved you. And then he gave the illustration of what kind of love he was talking about by how the Savior got down on his knees and girded a towel and got an old dirty towel and started washing those disciples' feet. There's a great object lesson there, and I've told you, I have a message, and there's nothing wrong with preaching the message and having the application of how wet is your towel? Because a real servant should be having a dirty, wet towel, because we should be washing a lot of feet, spiritually speaking. We ought to be serving the Lord, but that's not the primary application. That is not why the Lord Jesus gave them this example. He was trying to illustrate love and how to love one another as I have loved you. And as I mentioned this morning, the first one that we can say in this object lesson, that it was selfless love. The Lord Jesus laid his garment down. He got on his knees. He, as the Savior, humbled himself and loved these old fishermen enough to wash their feet. They were inferior to him, spiritually speaking. This is God in the flesh, but yet he selflessly gave and showed these men that he loved them by washing their feet. So we talked about selfless love. I want to talk to you tonight another thing that we see here in verse 1. There's a steadfast love. You say, Pastor, how can you explain to me how we are to love one another as Christ has loved us? Well, we see it in the example. He was selfless. He, the God of heaven, became selfless to love these men to the end. We also see something else there. I want you to notice in verse 1, the Bible says, now therefore, or before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, there it is, you ready? Knew, he knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. Now I want you to think about that a minute. There's a lot in that little word knew. He knew that he was going to depart from this world. What did that mean? What are the details? Well, he knew dark Calvary was looming. He knew that in just a few moments, Judas was going to go out and betray him and sell him for 30 pieces of silver. He knew that he was going to spend those hours in the Garden of Gethsemane, where I do believe that he sweated great drops of blood, because humanly speaking, he was under such duress knowing what was before him on Calvary. I believe he worried. I think his body was such under stress that actual capillaries did burst and he did bleed. I do believe. He knew all of this. Yet, here's what's amazing to me. With all that on his mind and everything that he's getting ready to face, he stopped and washed these men's feet. Here's the application. I mean, here, me, and the day I'm living, what I normally would probably hear and what I would normally say is, I don't have time to be washing anybody's feet right now. Do they not know what I'm going through? Can I get a witness? I guess that's conviction, because I'm certainly convicted. Knowing what he was, the Bible says he knew this was his life. Now, there's a lot not explained in that knew, but he knew what was he was facing in just a few hours. Humanly speaking, I don't know if another man has ever suffered like the Lord Jesus Christ, but I know spiritually no one ever suffered like Jesus Christ. He knew all of that, but yet he loved these men so much that he took the time wash their feet. Think about that. Here's the application. I know it's easy to love when everything's going right. I know it's easy to love when everybody's in love. I know it's easy to love when someone might be lovable. But what happens when that person's not lovable anymore? What happens when circumstances happen in life? Someone fails us. We just say, you know what? We just go stop loving. That's not the way Christ loves. Now, I want to remind you, if we look at this passage of Scripture, here's something else. I was just studying this passage of Scripture. Here's what's amazing. He washed these disciples' feet in chapter 13. And then I want you to look. He finishes washing their feet. And then I want you to notice in verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. You think he knew that? You know what he did with Judas? Y'all ready? This is it. This is it. Y'all ready? He washed his feet. He loved Judas even though he knew Judas was getting ready to betray him. Here's what I want to say there. If people are going to know that we're one of his disciples, they're going to know more about how we love than how we criticize. I've made this statement, and the Lord's helped me with this even more so. I've made this statement. I don't lose confidence or stop loving people because they failed. Because look, we've all failed. I start losing confidence in someone by the way they respond. Isn't that what the Lord said here? Is people are going to know that you're a true disciple if you love one another as I have loved you. And he loved Judas, and Judas is getting ready, comparatively speaking, cut his throat. He stuck a knife in Jesus Christ's back by sending him out and saying, I know the man and I'm going to sell him out to you. I'm going to kiss him on his cheek. I'm selling the Savior out. Yet Jesus knew that, but here's what. He still washed his feet. I wonder how many times have we fallen out of love with someone or stopped loving someone because they've not done exactly like we think they should. I want to say this. The Bible said that Satan had entered into the heart of Judas, but yet Jesus still washed his feet. You know what I want to say right there? I thank God he practiced what he preached. That's what I'm thankful for. He practiced what he preached. He said, gentlemen, do you know how people are going to know that you're one of my disciples? People are going to hurt you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to try to crucify you. And by the way, Peter was crucified. They're going to whip you. They're going to chase you around like a bunch of animals. John was exiled on Patmos. James was killed at the hands of Herod. But yet to the very end, these men was giving the gospel. Why? Because they loved Jesus, but they even loved their persecutors. Where'd that love come from? God. I've heard people say all the time, well, I'll tell you right now, if you have a love of people, man, you'll be a soul winner. Well, what do you do when you go into a prison cell and you're getting ready to talk to a man that's a pedophile? How are you going to love that man right? How are you going to go in there and give him the gospel and give him good news and give him hope? I'm going to tell you how. You're not going to do it because you love him. You're going to do it because you love his Savior. You're going to love the God that created him. That's how you're going to do it. Out of his great love. Out of his great love. So we see this steadfast love. Oh, it's easy to love everybody when everything is lovely. When they love us. But do you know who Jesus was loving? He was loving Judas, a man that was getting ready to betray him. Now, stay with me. Now, if we want to make a comparison with Judas, and yes, that was bad, but let's just go, we could go to another passage, but for the sake of time, what was his disciples doing during this time? What were they doing? I'm going to tell you what they were doing. And you know, you've read this account in another passage, you know what they were doing. You know what they were doing? They were arguing with one another. They're sitting there the very last day, the very last time that Jesus is going to meet with them. You know what they're arguing about? They want to know who's going to be the lead man in the kingdom. They're looking for prominence. They're looking for a place, a position. And Jesus is sitting there taking all this in. These are the disciples that are going to turn the world upside down, and they're full of pride. Here's what's amazing. Yet Jesus loved them. Isn't that powerful? It's a steadfast love. Doesn't change. Doesn't move. Laura and I have done a lot of talking. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm just giving you fair warning. If you want me to marry you in this building, and I'm just sharing this for everybody, you're going to go through a very, if you want me, because I don't have to marry you, but if you're going to get me to marry you, you're going to go through a very intense counseling session with us. Intense. Period. Intense. And here's one of the questions we're going to ask you right on the front end. Are you going to love this man? You going to love this woman? Even though they rip your heart out. You say, oh, pastor. He would never do that. She would never do that. Do you know that I've never met a married couple that the husband or the wife has not hurt the other? Now, I don't mean physically. But I mean, we're failures. We sin. We struggle. And no one ever gets married and says, oh, this marriage is going to be wonderful. We're going to put it down in cruise control. No, you've just married a sinner. He's marrying a sinner. She's married. You're both marrying a sinner, and you have to understand what God's love is. And that means no matter what, you don't quit. It's steadfast. I mean, it's through the hills, through the valleys, through the rivers, through it all. Why? Because you've got to love as Christ loved. You say, Pastor, you expect me to love someone after they've stuck a knife in my back? Look at me. Yes. Yes. Does that, but now again, let me define love. Does that mean that I've got to go up and I've got to be hugging around them all the time? No. Got to love them as Christ loved us. As Christ loved us. That's powerful. Steadfast. I heard someone say not long ago, I tell you what, people today just don't fight for nothing. Well, look at me. For love, you better fight. I mean, you got to get down the nitty-gritty. You know, like I said, Miss Laura, we went to the 50th anniversary of the Allens. They're wonderful people. I mean, John Allen is a hero, and Julia, they're great spiritual fathers, parents to my wife. I mean, I've heard much about their life. They were just faithful, just good people. So we went to their 50th year anniversary, and they gave us counsel that I never dreamed they would give us. I'm like, really? We came up here and asked that question for that? That's the answer? And Laura asked, she said, can you just give me something, Miss Allen? Could you just give me a little bit? How did you do it for 50 years? Now, you would think a woman like that, man, would give you, you know, she'd open up scripture and say, well, I'll tell you right now, we've loved each other as Christ loved us. That's not what she said, but I'm going to tell you what she did say kind of in that way, but it was powerful. Y'all ready? Here's what she said. Well, Laura, I'm just going to tell you, she said, you got to stay when you don't want to stay. That's love. That don't sound all romantic, does it, ladies? But you know what? Sometimes love's not romantic. It's steadfast. I thought about this. We love our children. I didn't pick Clay or Kaylee. I didn't pick either one of them. I would have picked them, but I didn't pick them. You ever thought about that? Have you ever picked your children? Has anybody been able to pick their children? No, God picked them for you, right? But how many of you love your children? Can I ask you a question? Has your children ever failed you? Have they ever lied to you? Have they ever struggled? Let me ask any parent here today. You ever quit loving them? There's not one parent that's going to raise their hand and say, yeah, I quit loving them. But it's awful funny that we cannot love people in our church and our other family and other people and friends. We stop loving them. Love as Christ loves. It's steadfast love. The Bible says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're to love like that, as Christ loved us. Do you have that kind of love? I'm going to be honest with you. I've been tested in that area in this year. Personally, I've been honest. I've been tested there. The flesh part of me, I want to stop loving people. But the Lord won't let me do it. You say, Pastor, do you like when people sin, do wrong? No, I don't like when they do wrong, and I don't condone it. I'm not going to condone it publicly. I'm not going to condone it privately. And people that know me know that's true. But I can make this statement. The Lord's helped me to love people that's even been unlovable, but I'm going to be honest with you, I don't like the choices that they make. I don't like the sin that's causing hurt to so many. But I have to be honest, and I say this between you and God, and He's my witness, there's no one on this earth right now that I hate. I want to love like this. Steadfast love. serving love. Would you look at me, verse 5? And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. It's a serving love. A serving love. Now listen, church. Jesus literally did something. He just didn't talk it. He served. He showed his love. Love is an action word. Again, how will people know that you're one of my disciples? By talk? He didn't say that. No, he said, no, if you're going to love one another, that's an action. You're going to love one another as I loved you. And what a beautiful picture. You say, well, how did he love? Well, he was selfless. He washed their feet. To the very end, he washed the disciples' feet that betrayed him, because it was after the washing that Judas left. So it was a steadfast love. But it was also a serving love. That's how you know when you love. Think about it. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, rather in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Indeed. Indeed. Action. Doing something. Serving. Thinking of others. Doing for others. Think about this. If you love me, if you love me, and if I love you, what are we going to do? What are you going to do for me if you love me? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing you're not going to do. You're not going to give me what I want. Because most of the time, what I want, listen to me now, is not what I need. See, that's amazing. That's why a lot of times, Brother Maynard, and I appreciate everybody that comes to talk to me, but most of the time, if somebody comes and talks to me, they already know what I'm going to tell them before they get there. And so I say, in this passage, we see that this serving love, and it's if you love me, you're not going to tell me what I want, you're going to tell me what I need. And if I love you, I'm not going to just tell you what you want, I'm going to tell you what you need. If my children came to me and they were little and their mother and say, hey, I'd like to have a rattlesnake for a pet. Well, I'm certainly not going to, oh, sure, I'll go help you buy it. No, why? We're going to tell them no. Why? Because they might want a rattlesnake, but they certainly don't need one. You know what I used to hear? And well, it's good to see this Brandon family come up closer. I was wondering when we was going to get up here. Praise God. I mean, I haven't known Pat and Dolores Brandon to sit on that back road since the Riverview Chapel days. Amen. I'm glad y'all are up here. But, Mom, I don't want you to get embarrassed. But I remember as a boy, here's what you'd say. Now, this is good. Kim knows this. And there's been times I've said this, but I'm gonna, here's what you used to say to me and Kim sometimes. She said, I'm going to tell you what y'all need. Y'all need a whipping. Y'all ever heard that? Well, you know what? I'm going to confess tonight. I'm 46. She was right, but I certainly didn't want one. And listen to me. I needed one, but I didn't want it. And it's amazing. We've mistreated love, that we're trying to make people happy and we just want to fulfill everything of their desires and we're missing their needs. A serving love. Let me say this. These men also did not deserve their feet washed. But he did it anyway. Do you think Judas deserved for the Savior, the one he's getting ready to crucify, to betray? Do you think Judas deserved for the Savior to get down and wash his feet? He didn't deserve that. Neither did Peter, neither did any of them. It was, I mean, by the way, I want you to know this, they didn't deserve to have their feet washed, but Jesus did not give them what they desired nor what they deserved. But he gave them what? They needed. And I'm going to explain this in the last point. Why? the washing of feet was a small thing in a way. This washing of feet, it was a humble thing. It was really an insignificant gift in the grand scheme of everything. But I want to make this application. Sometimes serving love is not always glamorous. Can I make some application of that? We have a lot of people in this church, and Brother Maynard, you helped me the other day. I called Brother Maynard, and we were talking, but man, I got to asking him questions about the great Highland Park Baptist Church, and there was a lot of things I didn't know, so I asked him some questions. And he said, what made it great? There were so many people serving there, and no one needed the credit for it. Did you say that? Real love's not always glamorous. Real love is cleaning a dirty bathroom. Real love's taking up an offering for this roll of paper to get sent out to people that don't have the Word of God. And nobody has to know it. And by the way, I want to say, we have a lot of people in this church, they would rather be behind the scenes and not be known. I'm going to be honest with you, that encourages me. Look, real love's not glamorous. And I've learned that through the years, you know. I know, now listen, gentlemen, I get it, and I do. I am afraid we're living in a day where roles are being reversed, and that's a scary thing because God has designed the role of a woman and the role of a man. But I want you to know something. I've learned through the years that some of the things that's been so very helpful and shows love to my wife has not been very glamorous things. Helping her wash an old dirty dish. Picking up my clothes, taking them up off the hamper and actually putting them in the hamper. And here's something, y'all pray for me. I'm still trying to get victory over it, but she normally can follow me in the house wherever I've been because I've left a drawer open, I've left a cabinet open. She said, you're just like Kay. She said, I can follow your trail everywhere through the house. Y'all pray for me. I need victory in that. It's not very glamorous shutting that door when you just forget about it and you walk away. Serving love is not always glamorous. You know, we've got some folks here recently. They've been serving around here, doing all kinds of stuff around here, little things that most people wouldn't even necessarily know anything about. But that's real love, serving love. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to quit that. I ain't getting no. I mean, I'll have some people tell me they're going to get mad at me if I keep mentioning their name. No, serving love is always doing the things that are needed. And then as I close, a sanctifying love. Look at verse 6 to 11 with me quickly. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. That's powerful. I want you to mark it. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Because see, he's looking at me now. He's talking more about dirty feet now. He's talking more about physically dirty feet. He's now talking about spiritually bitten clean. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. He didn't just mean, if I don't wash your feet, you're going to have... No. He was talking in a spiritual sense. Stay with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. He's referring to Judas. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So see, he's talking spiritually. Look, all of them men's, don't be mistaken, all of those men's feet were dirty. They all need cleaned. But there was one there that wasn't clean spiritually. So you have to understand, this is talking about no longer about physical dirt. He's not dealing with physical dirt here. He's dealing with spiritual dirt. He's talking about, y'all ready? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Peter didn't understand exactly what he was saying. He was just looking at physically feet dirty. And he says, no. And here's what he said. I want you to notice. This is powerful. Boy, this hit me. Verse number 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know what he was referring to there? Y'all ready? Y'all know what Peter's getting ready to go out and do in a few days? He's getting ready to cuss and curse and deny the one that he said would not wash my feet, and I will never leave you, Lord. That's what Peter's getting ready to do. And so see, that's why God said to him, you don't understand it right now, but you're going to. You know the people that I've learned or might be more a little bit more willing to forgive is people who know that they've had to be forgiven. What he's talking about there. Growing up, I was raised in a good home, and we had wonderful parents, and I wouldn't choose to have any other upbringing than my mother and my father and my sister. We had a wonderful home. I have wonderful memories of my life. And it wasn't their fault, it wasn't anybody's fault but my own, but I had no idea what forgiveness was. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of lived in my own little world that if you struck, if you missed the ball, or if you messed up, look at me, you were done. You were finished. We had the right never to like you again. You was never going to be used of God anymore. And that was just the thought that I had. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to say my family did that because we had loving and forgiving people, but there was a little bit of a teaching of that somewhere in my life, and I'm not going to say, but there was a little bit of that maybe ignorance in my life that I felt like if someone messed up, they were done. Until I messed up. And for the first time, I realized what a sanctifying love was. When I say that I don't lose confidence in people because they fail, I'm going to be honest with you, I lose more confidence in someone that's not going to help somebody get up. Though he may fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Jesus, talking about sanctifying love here, said, look, you want people to know that you're one of my disciples, then you be a forgiver. Because Peter, here in a while, you're going to learn that you failed. You're going to fail, and I'm going to have to forgive you. And you know what? I love it. And that's why when I preached on Easter, and I got so passionate about that, because I loved it. The angel told those women, said, go tell the disciples, Peter. I want to have language like that. Pastor, do you know what so-and-so did? Yes, I do. What do you think about it? Well, I hate it. I hate that it's caused the hurt. I hate that that's happened, but I want you to know this. There's a bomb in Gilead. Someone asked me the other day, well, why didn't you bring that up? Really? Am I really? Really? Is that what people think, that the preacher's just supposed to bring up everybody's sin? Why didn't you tell him? Well, there's times for that, but you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I believe the love that the Lord's speaking of here is it's a sanctifying love. He's trying to teach Peter not to be a hard one, but to be a forgiver. And by the way, just because you forgive someone never means you condone the sin. I've heard the most outlandish things in the last few years, and by the way, I know there's cover-ups in church. I know that. I'm not silly. I'm not ignorant. I know there's cover-ups in church. There's a group now that's wanting to blame all of us for having cover-ups in our church. I realize that. I've never condoned a cover-up. I've never covered up anything here. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to bring somebody up in front of this church and give every sin they've ever committed. The Bible does say a compassion, the compassion covers a multitude of sins. There's a thing about being wise and being discreet, because you know what? Those people have children. And I'd hate for some long-tongued snake go and tell those children years down the road and hurt those dear precious children. See, some people ain't got enough wisdom to pour it. They don't even have enough wisdom. But I'm just saying, we got to love people like that too. I sometimes get put out with people like that because they're always thinking, well, I'll tell you what, this is why this is done. You have no idea why it was done. We're trying to protect people. And by the way, I want to say this. I love everybody here, and y'all know I preach hard against sin, and you know that I tell you to stay away and stay away and stay away, but I want you to know something. I hope your children know that if they fail, they'll have a pastor and a wife that won't condone what they did, but will love on them and help them and try to rebuild their life. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. And that doesn't always mean that they get told what they want to hear either. They get told what they need, but hopefully they're told what they need in love. Sanctifying love. Our love is to be sanctifying love. We're to wash one another's feet. What's that mean, Pastor? We're to forgive one another. And I want to say to this church, I appreciate you. You have forgiven me. I told you this. I've tried to explain it. Through this pandemic, I don't know if I've made all the right decisions. I will tell you this. I've tried not to make any of them by myself. You say, well, Pastor, why have you done that? Because look at me. Bless God, if I'm going down, they're going down too. I ain't no dummy. I said, I've been talking to the deacons. And by the way, I love our deacons. I talk to these other men that's here. And here's what amazes me. We have men here that know more than I've ever known. They've forgotten more Bible mystery. And I know I tell you all this, but I want y'all to know, you older men that serve the Lord and pastor and been a missionary, I love you. You've been a great help to me. But we have to forgive one another. We got to wash each other's feet. That's what we're talking about. We got to wash each other's feet. We have to forgive. We have to forgive. And by the way, saying you forgive doesn't mean you're forgiven. Forgiving is giving up all right to retaliate and forgiving for Christ's sake. Forgiveness. Now look here. That's the kind of love that God said, if you want this wicked world to see that you're my disciple, you're to love like that. Pastor, is it possible? Oh, yes, with the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God. Sanctifying love. Actually, I have to read this one of the verse. Powerful. I've got it wrote down here. Can I just read it to you? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. I wrote this little illustration down. You can't look down on anybody when you're washing their feet. Can't look down on anybody when you're washing their feet. Here's one. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such, and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You say, Pastor, how are you going to know? How are we going to know that someone is really a disciple of the Lord? He's letting people up. He's trying to restore a marriage. He's trying to restore a life. He's trying to restore a broken something broken. He's trying to forgive. He's trying to fix. He's trying to aid. That's why I've lost all confidence with a certain group. They're not interested in that. And I'm going to be honest with you. The Lord has nailed it down in my life with that passage. They're not interested in God's love. God's love does not look like that. God's love looks exactly what we find in John chapter 13. And that whole group doesn't even want to talk about it. All they want to talk about is the failures of others. Listen to me. I could do the same. We all could do the same. But how about we major on just letting the Holy Spirit of God help us to have a selfless love, a serving love, a sanctifying love. Y'all with me? I think your children deserve that. I think your grandchildren deserve that. I think your church family deserves that. I think Lookout Valley and all the lost that are here deserve that. Because I hope and pray that when they say, see Tiftonia Baptist Church church members, say, I'll tell you one thing. I know they're one of the Lord's. How you know, bub? I tell you, when they had every right to be mad and to go for the throat, they didn't. They just loved. God, help us. Let's stand to our feet.